Today's shir is Masechet Yevam, Daf Kuf Yud Beis. We will begin on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. Yevam Hasharim V'Tayach Shloshim Yoyim. As we learned in the previous Mishnah, the Mishnah said that if a Yevam took in a Yevama and it's within 30 days and she says that Bia was not performed, Kaifanai Seilachlitz, we force him to do Chalitza. After 30 days, Mevakshin, we ask him to do Chalitza. So obviously our Mishnah differentiates between before 30 days and after 30 days. Ask the Gemara, Mantana da at loisim yomim, mukim anisha nafshi, that after 30 days we can believe that no relationships occurred. After 30 days, we can't believe that it didn't happen. Am Rabbi Yochanan, Rameihi. It represents the opinion of Rameihi. The Tanya, a good introduction to Masechta Ksubis. The Gemara teaches us in Masechta Ksubis that a husband marries a wife and then he comes and says that his wife wasn't a psula. Says the Gemara Masechta Yevamos. Tanis psulim kol shloshim yoyim divrei Rameihi. Rameihi says up to 30 days a person is believed to say that I only had relations with my wife last night, or Tosfos says not really last night, the last time before Besdin was in session, and I found that she's not a psula. They got married 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Rameihi says that a person could hold back from having relations for 30 days. So up to 30 days we believe that he didn't have relations until now. Now he had relations and he found that she's not a psula. If it's after 30 days, according to Rameihi, we can't believe that he held back and did not have relations till now. What must have happened was that he had relations a while ago, and she was a psula. And then it turned out that he wasn't happy with her, so he wants to get out of the marriage, but he doesn't have to pay the large ksuba that you pay for a psula. So he says that she wasn't a psula, and we don't believe her. So it's clear that Rameihi makes the mark is 30 days. And again, as I said, Tosfos says, it's not the way it works is, we have to look when Besdin is in session. That means he could theoretically say that the 30th night was Tuesday night, and that's when he did the Bia, and that's when he found that she wasn't a Psula. He only comes to Besdin on Thursday, which is day 32 already. If it's in a place where Besdin is not in session, only Monday and Thursday, he has a legitimate excuse why he didn't come. Besdin wasn't in session. Rabbi Yossi looks at it differently. Rabbi Yossi am a Nistra la'alta. Loi Nistra, aflacha kamashonim. Rabbi Yossi says that what we look at is if they were secluded privately, they certainly had relations. There's no 30-day mark. And if they weren't secluded, then they could be married for years, and he could say, I only had relations the first time that we were secluded. Tosfos asks, so what is the machlokes of Rameihi and Rabbi Yossi? So Tosfos says the machlokes between Rameihi and Rabbi Yossi is one situation. In other words, he says Rameihi will agree that if they weren't secluded, even those past 30 days, we could accept that there was no relations because they didn't have the ability to do it. The machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Rameihi is in a situation where we don't know if they were secluded. According to Rabbi Yossi, until we know for sure that they were secluded, we could accept that they didn't have relations. According to Rameihi, where we don't know if they were secluded, the cutoff date is 30 days. Up to 30 days, we believe that they didn't have relations. After 30 days, we can't believe that there were no relations. So what's the Gemara's question? The Gemara's question is obviously, our Mishnah that makes the cutoff date 30 days is obviously following the opinion of Rameihi. Because according to Rabbi Yossi, that as soon as they're secluded, we assume that they had relations. And as the Al-Khuner, based on what the Rashba teaches us, certainly in our Mishnah they were secluded. Because in our Mishnah, we're assuming that they were together, they had Yibam. And says the Rashba, what does Yibam mean? Yibam means that there were Eidei Yichud. That there were Eidim, that the Yavam and Yavama were secluded together in a home. And that proves that there was, under normal circumstances, Yibam, unless we have the situation that we're discussing where one of them claimed that there was no Bia. In fact, the Rashba, based on this Rashba, a couple we never assume to be married until they have Eidei Yichud, as we know, by most weddings. But there is an interesting Shitas Ra'ah, The Ross says we don't have to have Eide Yichud. If we see that a couple is living together as husband and wife on a regular basis, the fact that nobody had, that we can't point to two Eidim, two kosher Eidim, that know that they were secluded, is irrelevant. They're still considered that they were Eidim, that they're married. And this Shaila is very relevant, La'aloch L'maisa. It's a famous machlokes, Rav Moshe and Rav Henkin. What will be if there's a couple who never had a Jewish marriage? They were only married civilly. But everybody knows that they're living together, a husband and wife. Is there a get required or not? According to the Rajba, if there's no Eide Yichud, there's no Nisuin. According to the Ra'ah, as long as we know that they were living together as husband and wife, it's enough. So according to the Ra'ah, which is the way Rav Henkin was Machmer, they have to have a Jewish divorce, even though they never had a Jewish marriage. And if they don't have a Jewish divorce, and they got civilly divorced, and got married to other partners, the woman having other children, those children would be mamzerim. According to Rav Moshe, who accepts the opinion of the Rajba, since there were no Eide Yichud, he doesn't accept the L'chatchila. He just says, in a Shaila, where there's a Shaila of a mamzer, he says, since there were no Eide Yichud, we don't ever consider them really married, so they don't need a get. And therefore, if one of them does get married to another partner, if the woman gets married to another partner, the children will not be mamzerim. But again, to our Gemara, our Mishnah seems to be following the opinion of Rameya. Says the Gemara, Fil Tem Rabbi Yossi. It could even follow the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Because at Kamar Kam Rabbi Yossi Hasam, when did Rabbi Yossi say that we look if they were secluded or not? El Barusa saw the Gispa. A Chas and Kala, as soon as they have an opportunity to have relations, will normally have it. Here we're referring to Yavam and Yavama, a brother-in-law and a sister-in-law. Mivzah's bozes minay, there's a poor relationship, and therefore, they're not going to necessarily have relationships at the first opportunity. And as the Sharm Tzion Balacha explains, he says this concept, he says it very beautifully, he says this concept that a person is normally going to have relations with his wife at the first available opportunity is a roiv. That's the way most people act. Here, however, there's a miyat ha-motsui, there's a significant population of brother-in-law and sister-in-laws that don't get along, as we've learned previously in the Masechta. That's why the roiv that we normally operate with is not necessarily applicable in this case. And Rabbi Yossi will agree that up to 30 days, they will not necessarily have relationships. After 30 days, they must have had. Ask the Gemara. So we learned that if she says, if it's before 30 days, that they didn't have relations, we force them to do chalitza. Ask the Gemara, Acha kaifan say lachloitz, nach nekufen aliyavim, why are we forcing chalitza? Why don't we force yibum? And as Taisus explains the Gemara's question, our Gemara is working under the assumption that yibum is the preferable mitzvah. So why do we tell them do chalitza? Do yibum. And do the mitzvah 100% right. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav, b'shigita yoytz mitachas yodai. He already gave her a get. So according to him, so he can't do Yibam anymore. Because once you give a get, she's not a candidate for Yibam, she's only a candidate for Chalitza. Nesvei asked the Gemara, could that be the interpretation of our Mishnah? We find a Braisa that discusses many of the situations that we learned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Yivam Mishamar B'tav Shloshim Yom Lo Nevalti. Yivam says that it's within 30 days and he never had Biyah. Says the Braisa, Bein Shloim Be'alti, Bein Shloim Be'loi Be'alti. It makes no difference if he agrees or disagrees. Koifin Oysoi Shiach Litzla. We force Chalitza. We believe her and we force Chalitza. There's an interesting Shaila Taisus asks, what would be the halacha if she says there was no Biyah and he says there was no Biyah? So certainly chalitza is required. Will he still have to give a get? So pasha pshat, which is the first pshat in Taisus, no. They both agree there was no biyah. So why should there be a requirement for a get? But then Taisus in the second pshat says that even though they're both agreeing there was no biyah, they still have to have chalitza. They still have to have a get. Why? So the Magen Mishnah says beautiful pshat. The bottom line is we're working with an assumption, as we began today's shiur, that generally people do have relations at the first available opportunity. So because, even though he says there was no biyah, and she says there was no biyah, we still have this assumption that there was biyah, so that's why we require a get based on that assumption. If it's after 30 days, so then we don't believe her when she says there was no bia, and he says there was a bia, and therefore mavakshimenu shiachtzla. We request, we can't force them, but we ask him. Why? Because otherwise, according to her, she didn't have bia, and she didn't have chalitza, so she's a yavama, l'shuk. And she's shavya nafshe chaticha desura, she'll never be able to get married. That's why we ask her to, we ask him to give chalitza. Ask Taisvis, this Taisvis of Kufir Alpha Mabez, why should we ask? We should request, we demand. Isn't it the right thing? She's nebucha yavama. So he'll do chalitza. So what's the big deal? So Taisvis answers that since the chalitza procedure is an embarrassing procedure, that a man has, that he take off a shoe, and she spits at him, so we can't force him, we ask him. That's how Taisvis learns. The Ritva explains that once chalitza is performed, then he can never marry her, because you can't marry a woman you do chalitza with. She becomes permanently disqualified. So when we ask him to do chalitza, what we're essentially doing is closing the door of any relationship between him and her. He may want to be married to her in the future. That's why mevakshim, we ask, but we can't force. What's the nafkamina between the Taisus and the Ritva? So the Mefarshim say a very nice nafkamina. Nafkamina is if he's a kayin. So he's going to have to give her a get anyway. So if he's going to give her a get, she can't take her back anyway, even if she's not a chalutza. If the problem is what Taisus describes, that we don't want to force him to go through a chalitza process, it makes no difference if he's a kayin or not. Continues the Braisa. He Meris Nevalti. She says there was a bia. For whole I'm aloy balti, and he says there was no bia. Haroiza yoitz beget. He should give a get. Again, if it's after 30 days, because we believe her that there was a bia, and she gives a get to dissolve the relationship. Continues the Braisa. Who I'm ba'alti. First he says there was bia. V'hayu emeris lo nevalti, and she says there was no bia. Again, after 30 days. Then he retracts and agrees that there was no bia. Daloch is tzorach get chalitza. She requires a get and a chalitza. So as Rashi explains, even though he's agreeing there was no bia, and she's saying there was no bia, since he initially said that there was a bia, and it's after 30 days, so we assume that the first version was right, so we assume there was a bia, and that's why a get has to be given, plus, she also has to give chalitza, because they're both saying that there was no bia, so something has to dissolve that relationship. Taisa says the pshat tzricha get the chalitza is that she needs the get to really make herself be mutter to marry another man. But what is the kasha? Now the Gemara comes to a question. The Braisa in the last case is where the Braisa said that there's a requirement of a get. So it seems that in the earlier cases, where the first case, which was analogous with the case of our Mishnah, where a woman comes and says within 30 days there was no bia, all that we require is chalitza. I, Rav, explained our Mishnah, that our Mishnah is referring to a situation that there was a requirement for a get and chalitza. The Braisa seems to indicate that in that case, where it's within 30 days, and she says there was no bia, all that's required is a chalitza, because the Braisa introduces the concept of get only in its last situation, not in its first situation. And Rav was talking about the first situation, where a woman within 30 days said there was no bia. The Braisa says all you require is a chalitza. Rav says the Mishnah means you need get the chalitza. Answers the Gemara, Amar of Ami, the way to understand the Braisa is not to mean that it only requires a chalitza. Tzri chalitza mgita. Avadet there's a get. The Braisa is saying besides for the get, since she's saying there was no bia, and since it's within 30 days, so what she's saying is very plausible. So besides that, the get, which goes without saying, is required. Because he says there was a bia, so according to him, the full-fledged man and wife, we also make him give a chalitza. There's a very interesting chazanish, a chafetz chaim. Chazanish makes an interesting point. Regarding chalitza, he says, as we just explained a moment ago, it depends. Sometimes we force a chalitza within 30 days, and after 30 days, we request a chalitza. What about a get? The Gemara doesn't seem to make any differentiation by a get that sometimes we ask and sometimes we force. It seems that whatever gets required, we could force him to give a get. What's the difference between the get and the chalitza? So Chaznis says a beautiful pshat. He says, as we said from Tosfos, the chalitza procedure is an embarrassing procedure. So therefore, a chalitza we can't force a man to do. He doesn't want to be embarrassed. There's nothing embarrassing about a get. So therefore, whatever the get is required, we could force a man to give a get. However, takes the Chafetz Chaim this point and says just the reverse regarding reporting something. In other words, he says, the chalitza procedure is embarrassing, the get procedure there's nothing embarrassing about. But saying that a person underwent chalitza is not Lashon Hara, says the Chafetz Chaim. There's nothing embarrassing about saying that this man gave his sister-in-law chalitza. But to say that a person is a divorcee, again, if the person's intent is to malign the person, say, he's a divorcee, he can't get along, that could be Lashon Hara. So get and chalitza are just the opposite of each other. Rav Ashi gives a different teretz. Hosam get li zikasoi, hocha get li biyasoi. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara is our Mishnah is referring to a case there was a get given to the Zika. So since certainly there's a get given to the Zika, and once the get was given to the Zika, so now there's no option of doing anything besides chalitza. He went and did Biyah. This is the way Rashi explains the Gemara. So since he went and did Biyah, he still has to give a get for the Biyah. That if he did Biyah. According to her, he didn't do Biyah. So he gave a get for the Zika, and she has to give chalitza. But certainly another get will have to be given, because the first get was only the Zika, and according to his declaration that he did Biyah, we have to give a get for the Biyah. And according to her declaration that there was no Biyah, we have to give chalitza. So accordingly, according to Rashi's understanding, there will be two gittin. There'll be first a get lezika. Then, since according to him there was a Biyah, we have to give a get because they got married through that get. And according to her, since there was no Biyah, the zika was never dissolved, and we have to give a chalitza also. The Ramban has a different pshat. The Ramban says that the machloikis between him and her is what kind of get was given. Was it a get for Zika or a get for Biyah? And that's the basis of the disagreement. Says the Gemara, Hanishnei Moidim, Dosl Kamei Derav. So the way Rashi explains, we had exactly the situation. First the man said he did Biyah, and then he retracted and said he didn't do Biyah. And the woman always said there was no Biyah. So the question is, what should they do? Amale Rava, Chalutz Lava Sharla Tigra. Do Chalitza, because you both agree there was no Biyah. Rav Shrabba asked Rava, V'tanya tzricha get the chalitza. Doesn't the Brisa say that we just learned that if he first said there was a Biyah, and even though he retracted, a get and chalitza required, because we believe his first declaration, Amalei Tanya Tanya. If that's what the Brisa says, it says, and I accept that a get and chalitza required. Ask the Gemara. B'yimnei hoin b'rei de Rav Nachman. Very simple question. Tzarasu mahu. Whatever she says doesn't necessarily only affect her. It also affects her tzara. Because if we believe that there was no Biyah, so then the Zika was never dissolved. So the tzara is not allowed to get married. So when we believe her, do we believe her only regarding herself? Or do we believe her even as it affects the tzara? Amalei, v'chiv neish onu kaifim. If because in certain circumstances we force chalitza, or in certain circumstances of action we ask for chalitza, tiyasa tzara. So the way the Noi de Yehuda explains the Gemara beautifully, the Noi de Yehuda explains that, as we've been learning from the beginning of this year, we have an assumption in halacha, and the Noi de Yehuda says this is a very, very strong assumption, that as soon as they were secluded together, there was Biyah. And therefore the tzara is allowed to marry anyone else. Here we have new difficulties. He's saying there was a Biyah, there wasn't a Biyah. She's saying that can't change the fundamental assumption that we work in halacha with, that there was a Biyah. And therefore, the tzara can live according to that assumption, and whatever happens to the woman that is making claims and is not making claims has no effect on the tzara. That's how the Noi de Yehuda explains the Gemara. But truthfully, there's a very big machlokes rishonim in understanding this Gemara. Some Rishonim, as the Noida Behuda seems to learn, say that the Tzara is not affected by any of these claims. Other Rishonim say, as we learned at the beginning of this year, makes a difference when the claim was made. Was it made before 30 days? There we accept the claim that there wasn't a Biyah, and that Tzara would be affected. This Gemara that says that Tzara is not affected is only after 30 days. Other Rishonim make a difference if it's him saying that there was no Biyah, or the Yuvam is saying there was no Biyah. If he says there was no Biyah, it would affect the Tzara. If it's the woman saying there was no Biyah, especially since we know Tzara's, as we've learned, hate each other, we have to take into consideration that she made this claim only to adversely affect the Tzara, and then we don't believe her. We don't let it affect the Tzara. The last case of the Mishnah was HaNedaris HaNoah. So we learned in the Mishnah as follows. A woman made a neder that she's not going to have any benefit from a Yovel. So a Mishnah made the following dichotomy. If she made it while her husband was alive, so we don't assume that she had in mind to avoid the mitzvah of Yibam, and therefore, if her husband dies without children, we force him to give chalitza, because Yibam is not doable. There's a neder. If, on the other hand, we know that her intent was to avoid Yibam, so then we ask him, mevakshim, we ask him to do chalitza. Says the Gemara, Tanan Hossam, there's a Mishnah Masech Nedarim. Originally they said, Sholosh Noshim Yoitzes V'Noitles Ksuba. The three women that can force the husbands to divorce them, and they're entitled to the Ksuba. Hamer's Tmei Anilach. A woman comes and says to her husband, the Koyin, I was raped. So we believe her. Originally we believed her, because no woman, why? So the Rishonim say, no woman would say it unless it was true. Moreover, Shavya Nafsh Chatecha Desura, since she's married to a Koyin, and the wife of a Kohen who was raped, we know is not allowed to continue living with our husband. So we believe her. But she says to him, it's your fault that we have to get divorced. Because were you not a Kohen, I can remain with you. Therefore, pay the ksuba. The Rishonim say, she only has a right, even according to this version, she only is entitled to the ksuba. She's not entitled to the Tosfos ksuba. The extras the husband volunteered to give. That much she can't force him to give. The next case was, Hashemayim beinila beincha. And here we are, machlokes Rishonim, how to understand this. Some Rishonim says, I just can't live with you. It has nothing to do with relations. Just, I can't live with the same house as you. Tosfos seems to learn, it's not because they can't get along, it has to do because you and I are incompatible in terms of having relations. And again, she's believed because she wouldn't say it unless it was true. Netilu anim Yehudim. She made a neder, I will not have any benefit from any Jews, and her husband is obviously Jewish. So again, she can't remain with him, and he has to give her get and pay the ksuba. Chazru loimer, then they changed, and they said, Shloitei isha nesenes aneh ba'achar, umekakelas abala. We're concerned that this woman wants to get out of a marriage to marry another man. So she comes up with these excuses in order to be able to force her husband to divorce her. And that's why we don't believe her. So ask the Ram, Gevalda Gakasha. Midaraisa, she's believed. So Midaraisa, he has to divorce her. So how could the Rabbanan uproot that? So one Teretz that he says, Bichidish, is that that's the Koyuch of Chazal. That they have a right to uproot, even though she should be believed, Midaraisa, Chazal say we don't believe her. Which is a big chiddush, because here it's kumvasei, it's not just sheval taisa. Another pshat that the Ran offers is that since Chazal determined that things changed, and women, many women were lying because of this situation, it's not pshat that the deraisa trusts her, and the rabbanim say we don't believe her. The rabbanim say that the deraisa won't trust her, because we're sure that she's not saying the truth. Ella, therefore, Hameris Tamei Elach, if a woman comes and says to her husband she was raped, Tavi Rilat Vera, unless she could prove that she was raped, we don't believe her. Hashemayim Beinila Bencha, if she says that I can't live with you, Yasudar Bekosha. And again, based on the Pshatim of the Rishonim, there's two Pshatim Yasudar Bekosha. According to the Pshat that they're incompatible to live together, she says they should go to counseling and get compatible. The Rishonim say, make her a nice lunch, maybe she'll feel good. According to the pshat that they can't have relations, the Rishonim say they should daven. Yasa Darab Akasha, they should daven that they should be able to have relations. Nutula Nimin Yehudim, in the case where she says, I made a nether, that I cannot benefit from any Jew. You're a Jew, how can we live together? Yofachelkoi, he should be made for nether. The husband has a right to be made for nether. Umisham Shasai, with him she could continue having relations. And regarding all other Jews, the Tainu Tulum and Yehudim. So she won't have relations with them. Then she's an Ashishish anyway. Ask the Gemara. Now the Gemara brings it to our sugya. Ask the Gemara in a situation where a woman made such a nether. Ibarilhu, Natula Niman Yehudim. A woman made a nether that I won't have relations with any Jew. L'yavim mahu. Did she have in mind the yavim or not? Mi maskadata. Do we say that when she made the nether, she was thinking, perhaps, the mayis bala, her husband will die without children, v'nafla kama yavim, and she included the yavim in the nether, and therefore, should her husband die without children, she can't have benefit with the yavim? Oiloi. Nobody thinks about that. Rav Amar, yavim ein kabal. She's not thinking about the yavim, because she's not assuming that she'll ever fall to Yibam. V'shmul Amar, yavim kabal. She's thinking about the yavim, and therefore if the husband dies without children, the nether she made will also affect their relationship. And as Rashi says, even according to Shmuel, why don't we say that even she had in mind the yavim, so when she falls to the yavim, let him be made for the nether. The halacha is a yavim could only be made from the darim of his wife. But a yavim can be made from the darim that the yavim made before she fell to him. In fact, there's a vart from the Meshech Chachma that says, interesting pshat, he said, the pasuk says, nether aman of a grusha yokim oleho. Any nether that Almana Grusha makes, since she doesn't have a husband, is automatically confirmed. So he asks, why does the pasuk use the word Aleha? It says, nether Almana Grusha Yochum. It's automatically confirmed. Why does it say the word Aleha? So he says, because the pasuk says, Yavama Yava Aleha. So the pasuk is teaching us, just like the nether of an Almana Grusha is automatically confirmed, because there is no husband to annul it, same the nether of that she made, the Yavam, Yavama Yava Aleha, cannot be affected. He can't annul the dorim that she has from before. Omer Baya says Abaya Kavasei the Rav Mistabra. It makes sense like Rav that when she said the nether, she didn't have in mind the yavam. The Tanan. Now we go back to our Mishnah. It said in our Mishnah, Hanederes Hanam Yavama, if she made a nether from that she's not going to benefit from a yavam, if she made it b'chayi bala, so we say she didn't have in mind to asa yibum, and that's why Kaifanai so shiachlitz. Ask the Gemara. If this is correct, that even while her husband's alive, she sometimes thinks that she's going to fall to Yibam, and she already makes the nether, not to benefit from the Yavam, why, Vim Isa, the Maska Data, and she did consider the Yavam, why is the Halacha that we force him to do Chalitza? We should implore him, we should ask him. Answers the Gemara, Hachamayiskinen, this case is referring to a situation, the Mishnah is referring to a situation that she has children. So since she has children, there certainly we could assume that she never imagined, and like the Aruch Hanan says, it's not her children, it's the husband's children. She never imagined that she'll fall to Yibam, and there we could safely assume that the purpose of her nether was not to avoid Yibam. The Kula Hai, in a situation where her husband has children, and we should assume that she made the nether because she's thinking that the children will die, and she'll fall to Yibam, and therefore she's trying to avoid it, nobody goes that far. To Kulahai Lemaska Data. Because the Yibam is Taliv here. Doesn't make a difference. It's Taliv if the husband has children or not. Yibam is dependent on him having children. Aval Ein Labonim. So according to this version, if the husband has no children, Maim of Action, then we could assume that she did make the nether to avoid Yibam, and therefore we only ask him to do Chalitza, we can't force him. Ask the Gemara if that is indeed the case, that our Mishnah is only referring to a situation where he has children. And that's why we could safely assume that her purpose in making the nether was not to avoid Yibam. Adatani in the Skavim Lekach. Afil b'chai bala mevakshim menu shiachlitz. If she had intention to avoid Yibam, then we only can ask him to do Chalitza, we could have said an easier nafkamina. Lefev listen b'dido. V'medvar amurim v'shiyesh labonim. If she has children, that's when we could assume that she didn't have in mind to avoid yibum. Avel ein labonim. If she didn't have children, a mevakshim, we could automatically assume that she was doing it to avoid yibum, making the neder. Why didn't the Mishnah say this? El shema menah. From here we see loishnav yesh labonim. The Lashna ain't labonim. It makes no difference if he has or doesn't have children. As long as her husband is alive, she's not thinking about Yibam. And we could safely assume that the neder she made to avoid any benefit from a Yavam is not because she wants to avoid the mitzvah. It's just because she just doesn't like him. And that's what Rav says, that a woman that's married that makes a neder doesn't think about her Yavam. Shema minah. Harim lach peshama, harim lach peshama, harim lach peshama. Our Mishnah, long Mishnah, now continues some of these cases we already learned in the last letter in that Kuf Yud Aleph and Kuf Yud, but our Mishnah discusses a cheresh, primarily. What a cheresh can or can't do. And before we get into the Mishnah, a very common shaila, we know that a cheresh is a deaf mute, and a deaf mute in halacha is considered a person who has no das. So the question is, that comes up, we Baruch Hashem now, it's not now, it's for many years already, have people who are deaf-mute that are very intelligent and functioning in society. So the question is, how does the halacha view such people? So interestingly, there's a prima godim, he says that's pshat in the Rambam, that says certainly if a person was not born a deaf-mute, he only became a deaf-mute later in life, that's not the cheresh that our Mishnah is referring to. Moreover, there's a marsham, and other achroinim that say that a cheresh who we see functions in society and has been trained to be able to hear what people say and is able to speak certainly is considered a bar das. The Rechaim is even more makel. The Rechaim says that even if the cheresh speaks but it's very unclear and it's not easy to understand them, he's still considered a bar das. The cheresh that we're referring to, according to those achrayim, is strictly a person who is non-functioning. So says the Mishnah, cheresh nasa b'kachas, if a cheresh married an intelligent woman, or b'kach nasa chereshes, or vice versa. Imrotzel lahoytzi yoytzi, if he wants to divorce her, he could divorce her. Vimrotzel l'kayim y'kayim, if he wants to keep her, he could keep her. So the Rishonim ask, why not? Why shouldn't he be allowed to keep her? So the Rishonim answer, since we should be concerned that since she's not a bar das, maybe she will go have relations with other people. So it's not a marriage that we want to see sustained. Teaches us the Mishnah, we don't have to worry about that. Says the Mishnah, kishem kishkainis b'remiza, just like the marriage is done, even though he can't speak, so the marriage is done b'remiza, kachu moitzi b'remiza, the same way they got married, that's the way they get divorced. Rabbi Kivega says, Yehuda and Rabbi Kivega both say, how you masad the kedushin at the wedding of a cheresh and a chereshes. Because we know that the job of the Sadek Kedushin is really to make the bracha that the chassan should have made. So let's say the chassan is a cheresh. Are we Sadek Kedushin with the bracha or not? So Rav Kivega and the Noi de Yehuda both say that as long as one of the partners of the marriage is not a cheresh, then the bracha is certainly made. Because they both have the chiv of bracha. Just usually the chassan makes the bracha and he's moitzi the kala. Or the masada kedushin is moitzi both of them. So as long as one of them is not a cheresh, certainly the bracha is made. The question is if they're both cheroshim, perhaps then a bracha should not be made. Similarly, the mefarshim discuss, when the Mishnah says b'remiza, what does it mean b'remiza? Does remiza mean that we should see some sort of sign that the cheroshes and the cheroshes are prepared to get married? Or is writing? They could write. So they could write, he could write that I want to marry this woman, and she could write that I'm prepared to marry this man. Is that adequate? Or, since the Mishnah uses the words remiza, writing is inadequate.
How does he say hurry up?
He doesn't. It's Kedusha the Rabbanu. Continues the Mishnah. Pikeach shnos pikachas. If when he got married, she and he were both pikachas. V'nischarsha. And then she became a cherish. Says the Mishnah, Allah is imroitzi yoitzi. He could divorce her. V'mrotzi yakayim, or he could keep her. Why could he divorce her? Ay, she's not a bar das. Says the shot in the Mishnah is because we don't need her consent for a get. So we don't need her das. Nishtatis, What happens if someone's wife nebuch becomes a shaita? The halacha is layotzi, and we'll discuss tomorrow why. How about nishcharishu or nishtata? He became a cherish or a shaita, and a mitzvah lamas. Because to give a get, das is required. The kedushin was 100% valid, because when they got married, he was a bikayach. Now he's not a bikayach anymore, so he can't give a get. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Why a woman who became who lost her das is qualified to get a get? The ishan is charish, but a man who lost his das ain't a mitzi, can no longer give a get. So they responded, you can't compare the man to the woman. Sheisha, as far as the woman is concerned, we don't need her consent for a divorce. The isha, the ish, however, the man might, we need his das, and if he loses it, he's not qualified to give a get. There was a chareshes who her father gave, was mekabel the kedushin, so it's a kedusha deraisa, as we've learned. She yoytzis the get. She's allowed to get a get, because she does, even though there was a kedusha deraisa, and now she has no das, it makes no difference, because we don't need her das for a get. And they responded, avzu kiyotzaba, and we'll explain tomorrow what this means. Says the Mishnah, and these are the cases that we discussed. Beis achim charoshim, the suin, the beis achis charoshis. The two brothers who are both charoshim, married two sisters who are both charoshis. Or l'shtay achis pichais. Or even if the two sisters are pichais, or l'shtay achis are both sisters, or you have two sisters, achis charoshis, achis pichais. But the bottom line in all of these marriages is that it's only Kedusha the Rabbanim, because he is a cherish in all the circumstances. Or if you have a situation, there's achyos cheroshos. Nesun l'shnei achim pichin, or l'shnei achim cheroshin, or l'shnei achim echet cherish v'echet tikeach. The halach is, since there's a Kedusha the Rabbanim, and both are equal, both Kedushin were Kedusha the Rabbanim, because at least one partner in all of the cases that the Mishnah just branched is a cherish, and as we explained, a cherish does kedusha derabbanan, but a cherish is chiyuv of zika is only derabbanan, so she's a chois ishtoy mederabbanan, and therefore a roi elu p'turim and a chalitza mederabbanan. Continues the Mishnah. Vim hoya nachrius, if the two wives were nachrius, yichnesu. Why yichnesu? Very simple, because the halacha is that he's now the kedusha with the rabbanon, but the brother who's a cherish, or if she's a cherish, also could do a zika the rabbanon. Could you do yibun the rabbanon, and therefore yichnasu? And furthermore, v'mertz lahaytzi yitziu, as we learned in the Mishnah, if when they got married there was a cherish, when they separate a cherish could get separated, because as long as the marriage and the divorce he's equal status, it's acceptable. There's an interesting shaila that the Miri asks. The Miri asks such a shaila. Let's say there was a brother who a pikeach and a pikachas were married. The brother dies without children. His brother, the cherish, does yibam, which is acceptable. He wasn't related to her. He does yibam. He can never divorce her because the zika is a deraisa, but he can't give a get deraisa. That's fine. Now the second brother dies. Do we say that since the second marriage was a marriage of a cherish pikeach, it wasn't a complete yibam? So this woman, when she now falls to the third brother, has the zika of two brothers, the first husband and the second husband. And we learned earlier in the Masechta, Mishyesh la zika siyavim achad, v'loy mishyesh la zika shnei yavamim, and therefore she cannot be a candidate for yibum to the third brother. Or do we say that the yibum that the cherish does is a full-fledged yibum, and she only has now the zika from the second husband, and she's a candidate for yibum to the third brother? Continues the Mishnah. Shnei achim. We have two brothers. Echad cherish v'echad b'keach. One is a cherish, one is a b'keach. The suin, l'shtei achis b'keach. Both sisters are b'keachas. So one marriage is a marriage deraisa, the b'keach and the b'keachas, and one is a marriage derabbanan, the cherish and the b'keachas. Ma'is cherish b'al b'keachas. So the cherish, who's married to b'keachas, passes away. Ma'yas b'keach b'al b'keachas. What does the b'keach have to do? Says the Mishnah, teitz mishim achos isha. This woman is his full-fledged wife's sister, and he doesn't do yibam. However, what happens in the reverse situation? Meis pikeach b'al pikachas. The pikeach b'al pikachas passed away. He has to divorce his wife. Why? Because the zika that he has with his brother's wife is a zika d'oraisa. The marriage that he has with his wife is only the rabbanim. So the zika d'oraisa supersedes the marriage d'rabbanim. So he divorces his wife, which he may, because since the kedusha d'rabbanim, just like he took her in Baramiza, says our Mishnah, he divorces her Baramiza. But he can't marry his sister-in-law. Because at one point she was a sister-in-law, albeit with Rabbanan, so he can't marry her either. He has to give her chalitza. Next case. Shnei achim pichin. We have two brothers who are pichin. Nesun l'shtei achyos. Achas chareshes, achas pikachas. Once this is a chareshes, once this is a pikachas. Meis pikeich bal chareshes. If the pikeich bal chareshes passes away, mayas pikeich bal pikachas. What should the other brother do? Teit mishim achayos isha. The other sister is his wife's sister. His sister-in-law is his wife's sister. Full-fledged wife. Full-fledged achaisisha. And goes out. Meis b'keich b'al b'kachas. What about the b'keich b'al b'kachas dies? Meyas b'keich b'al chareshes. So again, since his marriage is only drabonim, because his wife is a chareshes, his zik is the raisa, because his brother was a b'keich and a b'kachas. So the halachas is, meitzes ish to beget, his wife he divorces, he gives chalitza. In the previous case, he couldn't give chalitza. Because in this case, he's a pikeach. In the previous case, he was a charish. A charish can't give chalitza, as we learned so many times. Next case. Shnei achim. Echad charish v'echad pikeach. We have two brothers, one's a charish v'pikeach. Nesuin l'shtei achyos. Echad charish v'echad pikeachas. The charish is married to charishes. The pikeach is married to pikeachas. Meis charish bal charishes. If the charish passes away, mayasa b'keach b'al b'kachas, what does it do to the b'keach? Tet m'shem chayis isha. The woman whose assistant-in-law is a full-fledged chayis ishto, no chiv yibam. What about vice versa? Meis b'keach b'al b'kachas, mayasa cheresh b'al k'chereshes, moitzes ishto b'get, he has to divorce his wife, because it's only kedusha d'rabonin, v'eshes ocha v'sur loylem. He can't do chalitza with his wife, with his sister-in-law, because he's a cheresh. He can't do Yibam because it's a sister-in-law. So she remains a Yavama for the rest of her life. Next case. Shnei Achim. Echad Cheresh V'Echad B'Keach. Nesun L'Shtei Nochriyis Pachos. Here we have two women, but they're not related to each other. Meis Cheresh Bal B'Kachas. Meyas B'Keach Bal B'Kachas. Eichos Miyabim. Since he's a B'Keach, it makes no difference what his sister-in-law is. He could do either Yibam or Chalitza. However, meis pikeach bal pikachas, mayas a cheresh bal pikachas, what should the cheresh do? He can't do chalitza, because chalitza is not doable by a cheresh. Yibum, he can do. Therefore, kindness, v'ein amaitz loylam, he can never give her a get. Why can't he give her a get? Because the marriage was a marriage midaraisa, but he's incapable of giving a full-fledged get, because he's a cheresh, so they can't have to stay together. Next case. Shnei achim pikachim, the sun lebeis nechriyos. Achas pikachas v'acharashas. Two brothers, one married to two nechriyos, one is pikachas v'acharash. Meis pikach bal kacharashas. Mayas pikach bal pikachas. Koinis. He has to marry her. He can't do chalitza, because chareshas is not a candidate for chalitza. But after he marries her, she is a candidate for get. Because as we learned at the beginning of the Mishnah, we don't need her consent. We don't need her das for get. From Rachel Hoytzi Yoytzi. Meis pikeach bal kachas, mayas pikeach bal kareshes, oichel tzomiyabim, because he's a pikeach, and makes no difference what she is. Shnei achim, echet cheresh v'echet pikeach, nesuyin, naiz nochriyas, echet cheresh v'echet pikeachas. Meis cheresh bal kareshes, mayas pikeach bal kachas, koinis, he only could do yibim, and then he could give a get. He can't do chalitza. Why can't he do chalitza? Because a chareshes is not a candidate for chalitza. Meis pikeach bal pikachas, mayasa cheresh bal chareshes, koinis. He can't do chalitza because a cheresh can't do chalitza. So he has to marry her, but he can't give her a get because a cheresh can't give a get. Only chareshes can get a get. And therefore, they might see oilim, he does yibam, and they have to remain married forever.
Okay.
I didn't mean to.
No. This is by Rabbi Shachar Tovitz. Several of his kids are there. Pete, he's a big
time. Okay, I'm just as fascinated.
Yes.
I mentioned it because a lot of people are asking the Shachar.
Yes.